You can order your life by the Holy Spirit. If we were really in tune, we would need no other agenda but what the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked Palestine by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He went to Samaria when the Holy Spirit told him to go to Samaria. He went to Galilee when he told him to go to Galilee. He would go down to Jerusalem when he told him to go there. We literally could be led purely by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15. Very interesting verse. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What? I thought we weren't supposed to be judgmental. You aren't, but the Spirit does. All right? Don't like it? The Holy Spirit in me discerns the right from wrong, good from bad, righteous evil. The Holy Spirit does. And He allows that to come to us. And sometimes it's very unpopular what the Holy Spirit says. It's not what everybody else is saying. And when you go against that, it's a problem. But nonetheless, and the Holy Spirit will always judge a situation or a person correctly. The Holy Spirit is 100% correct. He's never, ever, ever, ever wrong. And so in a situation, you can ask the Holy Spirit, what about this situation? What is happening here? How do I come out on this? And the Holy Spirit, if you'll wait on Him, will let you know. In many different ways, He'll let you know and show you. Verse 16 is really our, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" ? And then these words follow it. "But we have the mind of Christ." Think about that for a minute, will you? If I am being led by the Spirit, I can have... Are you there? Are you reading the same words I'm reading? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'm going to need your help. What do you believe goes on in the mind of Jesus Christ? What thoughts does Christ think? I'm actually asking you. Ma says he thinks thoughts of mercy. All right. What does Jesus think about? All right, he's thinking about how he can love people. What else? Create whatever needs to be created. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, you ought to know the thoughts of Him. What does Jesus think of? If I'm going to have His mind set, if you will, His mentality, what does He think about? What's He thinking about right now? Do you know? Do I know? What do you think His thoughts are? All right, don't get ahead of me, Karen. Because it's coming. All right. Completely. Does Jesus think any unrighteous thoughts? Of course not. He's thinking about righteousness. He's thinking how He can help His followers get to where He needs them to be. His thoughts are of intercession. He's at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession. So his thoughts are of intercession. If you have the mind of Christ, then we should have thoughts of intercession, should we not? Interceding for somebody. Now, I don't know if there's a more beautiful picture. And I think sometimes we take it for granted. And I hope you're not one of them that tell people that you'll pray for them, but don't. You might as well say sending thoughts. Sending thoughts. Well, your thoughts don't mean spit.
But if you say, well, I will pray for you, then pray for them. I don't know if there is a more lofty job in the kingdom of God than interceding when you pray to the God Almighty for somebody else. And if you want to get a hold of some nasty old sinner and they're in a pickle, tell them, I will pray for you. But don't just tell them in a generic way. Tell them, I am going to bring your name up before God Almighty, and I have a relationship with Him. And I will present this situation to Him on your behalf. We are to think thoughts of intercession. They are lofty thoughts, my friend. We need a revival, man, I tell you. Because often our thoughts are not intercession. Our thoughts are, well, why is that person in that situation? What stupid thing have they done? What mistake have they done? They failed and they fall. They wouldn't be there if that blah, blah, blah. But Jesus doesn't think that. Jesus thinks about how He's going to draw that prodigal back home. He thinks about putting that one in a situation that will draw them back. What will bring them back? Jesus is trying. He is thinking about that backslidden person, how He can draw them. He sends His Spirit to convict them of their sin so that they'll be drawn back into the fold. The best thing in this entire world is to have the mind of Christ, to have the mentality of Jesus Christ. My question to you and me is this, well, can we really have His mind, or is the Scripture just a fantasy? Most of us do not think that we can have the mind of Christ. Most of us still think that eye has not seen, ear not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Because that's speaking of the natural man, but the spirit man, he knows all things. The spirit man gets in there and the Holy Spirit reveals to him everything that he needs to know. He will do it in 2025 just as sure as he did it in year one. He'll do it in year 2025. He will not miss. He's the same one. Hallelujah. We need to get our head out of every place else and get it back so that we begin to think like Jesus thinks. When I have the mind of Jesus, I don't act, I don't pray like those that do not have His mind. You understand. Understand this. You pray differently when you have the mind of Christ. I'm not talking about whether you are a Christian or not. I'm talking about having the mind of Christ. And yet, to me, you need this Holy Ghost to have the mind of Christ. He reveals to us the mind, what is going on, the thought process of the Father and the Son. You've got to have the Spirit of the living God. That's all there is to it. That's why we preach it. That's why we teach it. To be filled with the Spirit of the living God so that we can have the mind of Christ. Can you imagine Peter trying to win literally the world for Jesus Christ on his own intellect and strength? There's never more a stark difference than Peter with his own mind trying to do God's work and then Peter being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and now entering into the work of the Lord with the mind of Christ. Totally different. Absolutely a night and day situation. Because he has the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Paul didn't go on any missionary journey unless the Lord sent him. He stayed some places. Well, I'm staying here. Well, now he got a clue at a couple places because they started throwing rocks at him. And, they ask him for places to come and so forth. But you remember, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he needed to go to Macedonia. And instead of going, I can't remember where it was they were asking him to go. He said, no, the Holy Spirit is leading me to Macedonia. What about the person of Philip? Philip was in the midst of a greatest revival ever known to Samaria. It was even greater than the revival when Jesus went there, met the woman at the well, and all these people came to believe on Jesus. But when Philip went there, hallelujah, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Philip went there, and it was a Pentecostal hoedown. People were getting saved. They got rid of their idols. They threw all their drugs down at the altar. They stayed at the altar. And they said, get Peter and John over here. Peter and John came over, prayed for them. They were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost left and right. All of Samaria. And the Holy Spirit tapped Philip on the shoulder and said, listen, I need you to leave. He said, we're in the midst of a revival here, Lord. We're scheduled for two more weeks. But Philip had the mind of Christ, and he said, all right, let's go. And where did he take him? He took him out into the wilderness. He says, well, this is fun, walking along. Until he found this guy sitting up in his chariot who had been to Jerusalem. And he was reading the Gospel of Isaiah. But he's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip, under the mind or mentality of Jesus Christ, comes up to him and he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He says, I don't know. I'm on chapter 53. And he says, who is this person they're talking about in Isaiah chapter 53? He would be wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him. And by his stripes we are here. Who is this person? Philip left a great revival out in the wilderness. Meets one man. And he begins to tell him who the subject is of Isaiah 53. And he says, son, you just came from a place where he died. He rose again. Ethiopian eunuch, a high person in the government of Ethiopia, gave his heart to Jesus Christ and was baptized in water. And the Holy Ghost was done with Philip there. He had done his job. The Lord translated him wherever he was going, just like that. He translated him, I said. He got, and the Holy Ghost will get you where you need to be when you need to be there. But this man was on his way back to Africa. And this man introduced the gospel. He opened, Philip, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, opened the gospel to the entire continent of Africa. That's how the Holy Ghost works, folks. He knows what he's doing. It doesn't matter whether you know what he's doing. You just do what he tells you to do because he has the mind of Christ and he'll give it to you. When our spirit is aligned with the Lord, there is nothing that is impossible. Let me say it again. When our spirit is aligned with the Lord, there is nothing that is impossible. Does anybody here remember what they call the Cold War? And the Soviet Union versus the West. And they would point their nuclear missiles at us, and we would point our nuclear missiles at them. And I don't know why our school districts thought putting your head on your desk would save you from anything. Or even getting under your desk. They made some sturdy desks in those days, but we were always cautious. Now, our school had an underground, the cafeteria was underground. It was also that where, and we would have drills just in case Russia was going to come and bomb Lindenville. Lindenville's about a town of about 1,500 people. It's like, you know, we're pretty safe because this is about the last place anybody's going to bomb. I mean, I might be worried if I was in New York City or Washington, D.C., but anyway, we always had, you know what I'm talking about. Stick with me tonight. There was always the sirens would go off and we'd make like we're being bombed and all this. And it was serious business, and the Russian government would puff out its chest. And then in the 60s we had the Cuban Missile Crisis there, and President Kennedy had to send the missiles down to Miami, and because Russia had Cuba and all of those kind of things. Well, that was certainly a mentality. And since we're on Brother Swigert here, who was Brother Swigert's mission man? Yeah. Jim Folsey? Jim Woolsey tells the story. Jimmy Swigert says, I think the Lord's telling us to take the broadcast to Russia. We're still in the Cold War, friends. The 1980s, we still had Cold War issues. All right? The Berlin Wall was still up. And there's East and West Germany. And everybody looked at Jimmy and said, Jimmy, you're crazy. He said, I don't know. The Lord told me. You know, how are we going to... It's hard for me to believe. Whether Woolsey's telling the truth or not, I don't know. But he's from Arizona, so he should be all right. He came out of Victory Assembly of God Church at Brother Jones' church. Jim Woolsey. And so, anyway, he says, no, we're going to Moscow. They flew to Moscow. And any of you to see Rocky IV? You know, like Rocky lands there in Russia, and they got the guys around him and following him all over. He said, exactly how we were treated. Everybody's saying, Brother Swagger, you're crazy. You'll never get in. Da, 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 da. And I hope I don't get the story. Maybe somebody else here knows the story better than I. But Brother Woolsey went in there. And there was a door he needed to get into, but was not allowed to. He says the Lord blinded the guard's eye, so he went right in. And started to speak to the people that ran the television, the national television station for Russia. He was able to speak to him. And I don't think Brother Swigert was with him, but he says, I represent, he must have had a translator, I represent Jimmy Swigert Ministries, da, da, da. And the man looks at him and he goes, oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I have a satellite dish. And I can watch. And I watch. Hallelujah. And I can't remember all the details, but when Brother Woolsey walked out of that door, they had a signed contract to beam the Crusades, the Jimmy Swagger Crusades, throughout Soviet Union. This is verified. Because when I brought in Ukrainian, Pentecostal Ukrainian families that came, and I said, have you ever seen Jimmy Swagger? Oh, yes, he's on TV. When we have the mind of Christ, there is nothing that is impossible. In your family, there is nothing that is impossible if we walk with the mind of Christ. We have a lot of talk about living your best life now. Well, your best life is when we walk with the mind of Christ. When we think the thoughts that Jesus thinks. How did Jesus approach the sinner? He didn't approach him by saying, you are a wicked, evil person, you're no good. He said, here is another prospect. What did he think about that woman at the well? A five-time loser and living with a man. I don't know what her reputation was, but it couldn't have been good. But he didn't say, ew, nasty woman. He didn't say that. He found a woman that needed help. She needed a Savior. Jesus' thoughts are this. I see the wicked and the torn down. They are in need of a Savior, and will somebody tell them about me? Well, how then do I get the mind of Christ? The Apostle Paul says in here that, but we have the mind of Christ. Well, how do you get His mind? This is high stuff. I can't preach that on Sunday morning. Only the people that really are serious about this can go to grab a hold of this. How does one get the mind of Christ? Well, we get the mind of Christ via the Holy Spirit. But there is also some discipline in it as well. And we have to start paying attention to the discipline. Let the Holy Spirit correct us on these things. In Philippians chapter 4, the famous verse in Philippians chapter 4 is verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He'll keep your mind. Isaiah says, he whose mind is stayed, he'll give him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. We've got to practice keeping our mind staying on the Lord. But it goes on now, verse 8. We stop this chapter way too soon. Finally, brethren, whatsoever, and here we go, Karen, whatsoever things are true. How do you know they're true? How do you know if something's true or not? It's got to align with God's Word. Friends, there's no truth outside of God's Word. It doesn't exist. You don't have to believe me, it's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so it shall be. Think about whatsoever things are true. And whatsoever things are honest. Honesty. That is a lost... I think sometimes we glorify people that aren't honest. That are tricky and cute. To operate honorably and with integrity. Well, our thoughts should be, how can I have integrity in this situation? Not how I can act like I have integrity, but to have integrity. Those are two different things, friends. To think on things that are honest, it's what you do when no one is looking. You don't know if you're integral yet, unless you're doing the right thing when no one is looking. Otherwise, you're just doing it for other people's benefit. But to walk in honesty, to be honest in our dealings with people, and be honest with our dealings with our God. Think on those things. Think how I can be honest. Whatsoever things are just or proper or equitable, the Greek says. Whatever things are, let's do the equitable thing. Let me think. How can this be proper and right and equitable? Not how can I work this or manipulate this situation to my advantage, which is the natural man's thinking, but how can things be done correctly and proper and have good judgment in the situation? The Holy Spirit will help you every E-V-E-R-Y. He will help you every time. If you come to Him and say, Lord, I need the equitable solution to this situation, He will give you the answer. Whatsoever things are pure, holy, clean, chaste, whatsoever things are pure, concentrate on them. Think about those. Are you getting what He's saying here? He's telling us these that need the mind of Christ prioritizes these thought processes. Whatsoever things are lovely, or acceptable, or wonderful, those things, think on those things. If I had a television here and I turned on any of the news channels, do you think we're going to see many lovely things? You can't look to the news for lovely things. They have one little teeny beanie human interest story. You know, don't want to keep repeating myself, but Brother Donnie Swigert said when they went into Madison Square Garden, there was a news network there that was filming as people came in. And Madison Square Garden, for an event like that, holds about 22,000 people. And he said the Grateful Dead had been there for four concerts that same week before they got there. And they didn't sell out one time the entire Madison Square Garden. But this guy, the newscaster, is saying, however, they're having a religious thing here tonight, and it sold the capacity, and there's thousands outside waiting to get in. What is going on here? Whatsoever things are of a good report. A good report. Once again, are you going to get good reports from reels on Facebook? You're going to get good reports from wherever you get your source of news. We need to pay attention to good reports. Of reputable reports. Good things. How many of us concentrate on bad things? How much is our conversation? I'm not being nasty here. I'm just telling you. I'm going to ask you a question. How much of our conversation dwells on bad things? We point the finger at the media. Sometimes we're the media. Ooh, it got quiet in here. When you're going home from a church service, it can be a wonderful church service and there's one hiccup. How much time do you spend on the hiccup? when we should be rejoicing in the presence of the Lord and all the good stuff He's doing. I think half the depression in our world is because we don't think about the right things. We don't dwell on the right things. If there be any virtue, moral goodness, think on those things. If there be anything, any praise, anything praiseworthy, let's dwell on those things. Think on those things. Think, we got to change our thinker. If we want the mind of Christ, because this is what Christ centers on. Another one, I'm not going to take the time tonight, would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And get into the mind of Christ by His Holy Spirit. That's what He dwells on. He dwells on how can I help? How can I lift up? How can I encourage? He wastes very little time on negativity. The negativity will come in due time of those who have rejected Him. And that time is coming. But His thought right now is, how many people can I get into the kingdom of my Father? For it's the Lord's will that none should perish. Regardless of background, regardless of whether they wear a turban on their head or not, whether they have pierced this or pierced that, it doesn't matter to the Lord. He wants them into His kingdom. He wants to translate them out of the kingdom of Satan and into His kingdom, that they might live and live that more abundant life that He gave His life for. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. To me, those are pretty strong words. So, as I conclude, the thoughts of Jesus must become my thoughts as well. Now comes the hard part. How much of my mind belongs to Jesus? Do I have His mind? This world is just too nasty to go and think the thoughts of this world and the natural man. We know there's garbage circling around us all the time. We know there are horrible decisions being made here and there. We know, and we could talk about politics, good, bad, or indifferent. But if you have the mind of Jesus Christ, you'll be all right. He will settle things in your mind henceforth. He'll settle things in your soul. My concentration, this is my opinion, but it's considered. If I want the mind of Jesus, I have to be filled and sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that I can listen closely to Him in order to keep my brain in line with His Spirit. I think this certain author has gotten off track in later years, but she wrote a book called The Battle of the Mind. And if you can get your thoughts right, most everything else will follow. But if your thoughts are wrong, if they're the opposite of Philippians chapter 4, you are going to struggle with everything and everyone. And Jesus has graciously gone to the right hand of the Father. Come, Tim, please. He has graciously gone to the right hand of the Father. And He sent the Holy Ghost so that we can have the mind of Jesus. It's as just as real as the disciples that walked with Jesus. We have it better than those guys. Because the Holy Ghost was not given in His fullness yet. After Pentecost, we have it better than the disciples before Pentecost. All right, He's looking at me. When the Holy Ghost fills you, you have it. It opens the life of the Spirit. I know I'm repeating myself, and it's not because I'm old or have dementia. I'm trying to build something here that Scott Thurber can have the mind of Christ if he wants it. By the Spirit of the living God, I can have the mind of Jesus. I need not be frustrated with life or things if I have the mind of Jesus. When's the last time I asked myself, Is that a lovely thought? Is that a good report? Is that praise? Is that virtuous? We've got to change some things up in our life. We've got to let the Holy Spirit begin to deal with our thought process so that we become more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to have the mind of Almighty God. I want to think the same thoughts that the Lord is thinking. I've told this story before, but it's pretty good. Pastor Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle, it was Easter Sunday. And this was pre-COVID. They put about 2,000 people in their church five times that Easter. Five services, full, all five. And in the last service, a man came and sat in the third pew, kind of right in the eye view. This man had raggedy clothes. Some of the people had to move away from them, not because they were being nasty, but because he stunk so bad they were going to throw up. And he sits there through the service, this wonderful Easter service, he sits there. And the service is over. Brother Cimbala has preached five times already. If you've ever preached and given your heart, it takes a physical toll on you. And so he's exhausted and he's sitting on the edge of the platform like this. And that guy is still there. You ever see somebody like that and wish they'd go away, not bother us? Then he got up and he started to approach Brother Cimbala. What does Brother Cimbala think? He's a pastor. He knows. The guy's coming for money. Listen, most of the calls that go into that office are somebody wants rent money, light money, gas money, whatever. As the man is approaching him, Brother Cimbala is reaching in his back pocket. He's not going to give him some money, get rid of him. I'm going to go home and have Easter dinner. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out, I don't know, $20 bill. And the man approaches him and he says, and Brother Cimbala is very wise. He's already ready for him. He has the 20 out ready to give it to him. And the man looked at him and said, sir, keep your money. I want your money. Now, most of us pastors are like, okay, what's going on here then? He said, I want this Jesus you were preaching about. Brother Cimbala said, my nose was tingling with a mix of tobacco, B.O., and urine that dressed this man. And Brother Cimbala suddenly got the mind of Christ. And he reached out and he hugged this man. Got some of his dirt on him. Got some of the stink on him. And as he's hugging him, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, unless you learn to love this type of ministry, I cannot use you. Okay. Brother Cimbala did the impossible. I love his wife, Carol. He said, sir, do you have any place to go eat Easter dinner? He says, I want you to come home with my family to have Easter dinner with us. It's the mind of Christ. And so here he is sitting there. They're around the table. He said, so you got a job or anything? No, sir. No, sir. Because Brother Cimbala led him to the Lord. He says, well, we have an opening. You want to be a janitor? Brother Cimbala found him a place to live. He went to work there at the church as a janitor. I can't remember all the rest of it. He continued to serve the Lord. He went up the ladder. He is a blessing to that church today. Today. That's the mind of Christ. Natural man pulls a little bill to get rid of the guy. Jesus embraces it and says, come on, I got something good for you. Would you stand together with me? Maybe you guys got something to sing up there. But I'm just wondering, is anybody here willing to have the mind of Christ by His Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. 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 Begin to deal with the Lord.
Lord, paint my mind with every flood. Wipe away the stains of yesterday.
Hallelujah.
With your precious blood, you color the sky and the sea. Now, Lord, do this one thing just for me and make my mind with heaven.